So we're talking about breaking into the design industry, part two.
Yep.
And in a previous episode, we talked about my story. But now we're going to talk about your story.
Yeah.
And just for context, in case you haven't watched that one and you're jumping straight into this one, something that you wrapped up the last episode with was that we both come from different, complete different worlds, almost. And I'm really interested to learn more about your story, because you didn't study in Australia. You actually studied back in Mexico. So you probably got a complete different perspective on things.
Yeah, I think we have different journey, man. And that's the one thing that I wanted to talk about while I get this out of the way. Sorry, we're very ad hoc. Okay.
Boom.
Yeah. That's a clip. That's how we started. Yeah. Yeah, so like you said, I come from Mexico, and I studied my degree back there.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of experience in Mexico, but it's probably a bit irrelevant, but I can touch base on it, how it happened. I had friends that either studied the agencies, or my dad had friends who had like a small business in the design industry. Mm. Nobody is a creator or a creative in my family, but in the title.
Yeah.
But you know, they gave me the opportunity to break into the industry in that way. But what I wanted to focus on today is how I did it in Australia.
I like it.
Especially because I had no network. So I didn't have the necessary experience. I thought I had the experience that I just mentioned before. But when you bring the work that you started doing there, and then compared to the work that has been done here, it's miles away from where you're doing.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, so that's the one thing that I started doing. As soon as I recognized that my work wasn't up to scratch to break into this high quality industry, I stopped selling my work and I started selling my soft skills. So what I did instead of showing, I would show my folio and say, this is my folio, but by the way, this is back in Mexico. I want you to see this as from with a different lens, the potential that I have.
Were you, when did you realize that your work wasn't up to scratch? Like, did you have...
Maybe after the 20th rejection.
Ah, so it was in the interview process.
No, it was before that. Like, we're not looking for this. Thank you very much. Or, you know, good luck. It was...
Okay, when you were applying for jobs.
In other words, when I was applying for jobs, that's when I did it. And then if I got into an interview, maybe I was quite nervous.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good level of English.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it, but you know. But I used to.
Still a mystery. You're doing a podcast.
Now I'm doing a podcast. Well,
kudos on you, man.
Yeah, I know, right? It's completely out of the comfort zone. And so I could have a conversation, but then you start to get into the terms and you start to get into how would you approach a brief? How would you approach this and that? And and it's completely different to, you know, to what I was used to, because I don't know if you noticed, you might have noticed in your days as a freelancer how things are agencies are structured in very similar ways, even across different agencies.
Yeah.
So they're very used to that. And I didn't have that experience. I didn't have that exposure. So I got in and I came into these interviews and I was completely lost.
Mm.
So instead of selling my work, which by the way, I realized it wasn't up to scratch, I started selling the potential. And I remember going to this one studio once, and they're the ones who gave me the opportunity to come in as an intern for 6 months.
Were they looking for an intern or?
They were about to start looking for an intern, and they always had someone in that seat.
Okay.
And then they will have connections to schools or to, you know, other networks.
Yeah.
And they would put it out there and then people will start applying for that job.
Okay.
And I remember I sort of came in earlier because I remember working with this guy, and this is a branding agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working with this guy and we were doing a little bit of a handover, you know?
Okay.
So there was a bit of crossover there. And I started doing that internship, and that's where I learned. Man, I said this before, I didn't know what WIP stand for.
Oh, I remember that story. It's really funny.
What's a WIP, you know?
Yeah.
And what does that stand for? And what's a retrocession? And this is before Agile was Agile, you know?
So
we were doing all these things, but apparently they were pretty common, but I didn't know that.
I mean, fair
enough.
I feel
sorry for the accountant. I think I told you this before. She reached out to us. We reached out to her. She was looking for what we do.
Uh-huh.
And I say, hey, I'm doing digital now.
Yeah.
And
by the way, now I know what WIP means.
Now I know what WIP means. She probably doesn't remember that. But she, I bet you she remembers that. I just couldn't do anything for shit.
What? how did you find those guys?
So what I did is that I put a list of the place that I wanted to work at.
Okay.
Studios. This is specifically branding studios. And I wasn't looking for an internship or for a freelance. I was looking for a job, you know?
Right.
And what I did is that I went to the website.
Right.
And then I started hitting them up in like literally a spreadsheet. So I started hitting them up. But what I would do, instead of just spamming people, I will spend some time. And by time, I mean like days and days. I would spend a lot of time going to the website.
Okay.
The work they did.
Wow.
Making sure there was at least a piece of work that I liked, and then refer that in my email. So, you know, there was, I really.
What a full, it's a full-time job. Just
man, it's a full-time job. Just doing that. Having a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And crazy. If there was a name of somebody there that I wanted to address the email to, I will make sure I'll capture that as well. So Alejandro, director of the company, or creative director. Okay, so I will make a note for that. And then, dear Alejandro, blah, blah, this is my story. Just very sharp and sharp.
Sure.
This is my folio. Please make sure that you look beyond the work. I just got to Australia, blah, blah.
Oh, so that wasn't your pitch?
Yeah, it wasn't my pitch. It wasn't at the start, you know, because I thought I was like big shot. You know, I was like, I have experience. Okay. I shouldn't be doing an internship.
Right.
Yeah. And
then you realize.
Yeah, but that's the one thing. Like, I started personalizing those messages. Mm. And I did that on LinkedIn as well. I didn't have any money. Well, I wasn't on the streets, but, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have this money to go to this expensive conference that we talked about in the previous episode.
Yeah.
And what I did instead, whilst working in hospitality, I put away some of that money to pay onto LinkedIn Premium so I could start reaching out to people.
Mm.
And it's very inexpensive, but it does, when you really don't have that much in your pocket, it's like you really gotta make it work.
Oh, yeah.
And they only give you like 15 emails or something like that.
Yeah, so you took advantage of that.
Yeah, but before doing that, I took advantage of the free trial of LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say anyone out there trying to get into the industry, try to look for the free opportunities.
Yeah.
And try to, before you start spending money, maybe look into doing things like that.
Yeah.
Put your folio on Behance, that's free.
Yeah.
Do a try on LinkedIn, go to meetups, that's also free.
That's also, it's a very good way to meet people.
Literally hit up people that you want to talk to,
yeah,
or that you're interested to working with.
Yeah.
And more often than not, they'll get back to you. People are busy, yes.
Yeah.
But if you are genuine in your message,
mm-hmm,
people will get back to you. And right now, there are so many ways. So back then, it was just email. Maybe Twitter, yeah. But right now you can do, well, there's more on LinkedIn, there's more on Instagram, there's more on Facebook, you know, and it's really, really easy to approach other people.
Man, that's interesting. There seems to be this thing in you, now that I know you many years later, you're always a very driven person.
Mm.
Were you like that when you arrived from Mexico and you came here, were you the guy that had in your mind a clear goal, like where you want to work and what, you know, how is that going to happen? Like, did you come with a plan or did you arrive in Australia and went, okay, I need to find a job and like I need to tap into this industry?
I think there was a plan to start with when I knew I was going to come to Australia.
Yeah.
I hit up an agency called August, which still to this day is like a leader in the digital in the digital space.
Yeah, great work.
Yeah, and I hit him up and I said, I'm going to Australia in 3 months. I would like to have a catch up, just a meeting, or, well, I didn't say catch up. I would like to, you know, maybe have a chat and see how I can break into the industry. My intention there was for them to bring me on board, but also like, can you give me a hand? I have nobody. And the reason why I hit him up is because I like the work. That's the other thing, man. Like, when I go onto the website, and if I didn't like the work, if I didn't feel inspired by the work,
yep,
then I didn't want to fool myself thinking that I just wanted to work for the sake of it.
Oh, okay. So you filter some studios as well in that process?
Yeah, so I wouldn't email them.
As right.
Like, if you're going to give me the opportunity, and most likely it's going to be on paid internship,
yep,
I may as well like what you guys are doing.
Right.
And learn about it as well. I hit up August, and they were super welcoming. Never really had that chat or like catch up. It was all over email.
Right.
But that's that was part of the plan. And then when I came here, what I just said before, I realized that my work wasn't up to scratch, and you know, I had to look for other avenues.
You had to pivot all of a sudden.
Yeah, like going to that conference I told you about last time, Sex, Drugs, and Helvetica, for free, well, as a volunteer.
Yeah.
That was my way in as well. That was another way for me to break into the industry, get to know people, what's going on, you know, how do you...
Yeah.
And just being amongst other creatives and people from the industry really helps you to open up your mind and...
Yeah.
And start to soak up all that language and all the terminology. You and I always joke about how we can't explain what we do in Spanish.
Yeah. Cause learn all the terms in English.
Yeah, we learn all that here.
It's super interesting. For me, I think I was kind of creating this designer persona, you know, living and breathing design at uni. But for you, it's like you drop the Google
the pin
somewhere. That's how I think about your story. Like you come here, you arrive here, and boom,
all of
a sudden, exactly, figure it out.
I'm telling you this story in like 10 minutes, right?
But of course, yeah. I'm sure there's so many backstories to everything.
This happened over a course of, I'm going to say, maybe 4 or 5 months that I was constantly sending emails and knocking on people's doors. And by the way, that internship, I fucked it up.
Wait, so and that was after 5 months of applying, that's the first internship that you got, this one that you're talking about?
Yeah. Remember when we talked to Andy Wright from Streamtime?
Yeah.
He used to work at Interbrand.
Yeah.
Do we have that episode coming up? It'll be out by now.
Yeah.
It'll be out by now.
Yeah.
Well, there he talks about when Interbrand goes in to do this piece of work for the taco truck.
Yeah, I remember
there's
that.
There's a guy, the owner is called Attila, I think it's called.
Yep.
I hit him up.
Okay.
Back in the day. Because I saw the taco truck. I was like, this is amazing. There's nothing like it in Mexico. I just came here from Mexico. This
right. Is like, you almost, made a connection there.
Almost 10 years ago. Yeah, I made a connection. And I hit him up and I said, man, I'm a designer. I'm looking for a freelance gig. Do you have anything? I really like what you guys are doing. They were up in Sydney.
Okay.
And we were exchanging messages. But the point of this being that I was like going everywhere.
Everywhere. Right, left and of right. course, yeah.
And I was leveraging the fact that I'm Mexican and you have a taco truck.
Right.
We're both in Australia.
Right.
Is it destiny? I don't know. So, man, I didn't stop at the first.
I appreciate that. I respect that a lot, actually.
Thanks, man. I didn't stop at the first, no.
Yeah.
And that's why I always tell people, we've done some with the guys from Creative Natives, the talent agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done those sessions with the up-and-coming student or the up-and-coming creatives.
Yeah.
And they ask you questions about the industry and all this stuff. And the main thing that I always say is that reach out to people with a purpose.
Yeah.
Don't be spammy. And most likely people in Australia, man, like people are always willing to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people are. Yeah. Most people are. And what happened after? Like you found this, is it a job or is it an internship?
So that internship led nowhere because I just couldn't nail the briefs.
How long did you stay there for?
So I remember after 2 months, it was meant to be for 6 months.
Okay.
Unpaid internship, they would just give you, I mentioned this before, but they would just give you $100 a week, which back then will cover your public transport and lunch 5 days a week. And then after that, I will work over the weekends at hospitality.
Okay.
But I didn't care, man, because
no,
I was in. I was like, this is it. It's an amazing studio, amazing work, really cool people.
Okay.
And yeah, after that internship, it was meant to be for 6 months. After 2 or 3 months, I think, I said, we sat down and said, if for the next month I just keep underperforming, I think I'm just going to have to pull the plug. And we all agreed that that was a good call. And that's what happened. So I left defeated. But before I left... The creative director was very welcoming to all my questions about the industry. Derek Carroll is his name.
Yeah.
He was very welcoming. And he said, we sat down. I was like, man, I'm going to have to start looking for jobs. If I go into a freelance gig, how much should I be charging based on my experience and what you've seen?
Okay. So you took the opportunity to learn something.
Yeah, I was like, I got to get something more before I leave.
Yeah.
And I remember he said, start charging $30.
Okay.
What you can do, and then, 35, I think he said. It was pretty industry standard.
Yeah.
He said, for someone your experience, but really double down on your the fact that you come from outside, you know, from Australia.
Okay.
And sell your
vision. That story.
Yeah, sell that vision. You know, yep. Like I have a different perspective.
Interesting.
And to this day, we still do that.
You're yeah. Right. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so maybe we should give him some royalties. That guy. But and that's what I did. And I went across the street to another agency, literally across the street from an agency. They were looking for a freelance gig. I didn't get the gig. I got an interview and everything.
Okay.
But this time I had a folio from the past 3 months working with this agency. And so it was better.
Yeah. And you also had a bit of confidence, I'm guessing, at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew what a whip was. And you know, I knew a little bit more about branding and the
You're
industry.
You're not
in
so fresh. And
100%. Yeah. And I didn't get that gig either.
Yeah.
The director at the other agency for my internship, when I asked him for a reference, I said, look, I know I haven't been the best intern here, the best talent around here, but I would appreciate if you just say, if
some
you
good,
highlight the
nice
good
words
things.
About me.
And yeah, he said, like, yeah, man, I'll do it. If they ask me about it, I'll be honest because it's also a very tight industry.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest about it. I was like, that's fine, man. And I didn't get that one, but I did reach out to the people at Hive Creative.
Okay.
Yeah. Wayne. And I replied to a tweet that they were looking for a freelance designer.
Wow, you were on Twitter as well. Like you're literally in every platform.
Yeah, I don't think I was on Instagram, but I was because it wasn't a thing back there.
Right.
But yeah, I replied to a tweet. Last night I was looking for the tweet. I went back in time. Man, the things that I used to tweet, like, fuck.
You know what? I was just...
Because I wanted to get that reference.
That would be amazing if we can find that message. I was just curious because it's... In my mind, I picture you literally being in every platform, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, like Behance, just like looking for jobs. Did you ever come across that website? I think still exists, called The Loop.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they had a lot of creative jobs.
I was there.
That's why I thought.
TV, that was the only one they had creative jobs.
Did they have? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Loop, man, The Loop is like.
The Loop, that's where I found that internship that I talked about in the other episode.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was very active on that platform.
Well, I was, I was active there. Did you have to have a folio? Do you remember?
You could upload a folio. Right? Yeah, exactly. You could upload your work.
And that's where you got your internship.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I went old school. I just went hitting up people on emails and stuff.
Send them a letter.
Yeah. I remember there was another agency called Celsius, and they're still around. And they were around the corner from the other branding agency that I did the internship at. And I hit them up after this internship ended, and they didn't have anything for me. But I kept in touch for a few months, and they even sent me – I found this on the tweet. They sent me a little package about the agency, and it was like a – it was like a brochure or something like that.
Currently. Okay.
And they talk about their work and yeah, it was like a nice. It's like, look, we don't have an opportunity now, but we can. This is something that we can give you, so you can get like an inside look into what we.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a nice
touch.
That's
nice. Yeah. Like you'd appreciate it, especially after feeling defeated, you know, and applying for jobs.
It was a pretty bad feeling, to be honest. You know, you start self-doubting yourself and
I can imagine.
And then you just like, what am I doing here? And
did you ever think about like going into a different industry? Like design is not for me. Like did that ever cross your mind?
No, apart from the hospitality that everyone does here. No.
Yeah. So you were certain that was your thing.
Yeah, but you know what I was certain of? That I was gonna stay in branding.
Oh, okay.
And then I was gonna become an art director. And then a creative director.
Okay.
But when I started freelancing I got this gig with Hive and I charged them $40 an hour and they were, that's fine. I was willing to lower my rate.
Okay.
So thank God Wayne didn't say less than that.
Yeah.
I was willing to lower my rate by $5, even $10, you know, just to get paid. Man, I was balling, you know. $30 an hour after I'm paying
$5 extra, man. That's crazy. Oh, well, because you started at 30 actually. So you, and then he said 30?
No, I said 40 and in my mind I was like, if he says 30, I'm still within the range Derek, the creative director.
Because he suggested 30, right? Derek. Derek says, okay, all 30, right.
Yeah,
so he had a buffer of $10.
Yeah, right, I was like, I'm going to anchor the price.
Okay, love it, love
40,
it.
And then I'm going to lower it if needed.
Yeah.
And then he said, yeah.
You were clearly way more confident than...
I mean,
if you were ready to negotiate rates, like... goes to show maybe that you were in a better position, you know, than when you first started.
I think something that I would say is maybe aim a bit higher
every time.
Every time, yeah, just a little bit higher. Like, if you're happy with 30, just say 40. If you get it, sweet. If you don't get it, at least you know you got your bare minimum that you set yourself for. Because otherwise, you start going below that, and then you don't start enjoying their work, and then you're just like getting underpaid, and then you're unhappy, and you know it just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I kept a relationship with Hive. Obviously, after that, many many other years and other gigs, I went through different studios.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I try branding, I try design, I try advertising.
Okay,
and then I went into digital. I remember going into Clemenger on St. Kilda Road.
Okay.
Claim BBDO.
But
and I thought,
I want to know, like, at that point, Hive, did you feel like, okay, I made it, I'm part of the design industry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I felt like that because I was getting paid.
Right.
I was hanging out with other designers.
Okay.
No BS conference.
Yes.
You know, Sean.
Of course, we met one of your peers, yes.
I used to work with him back in the day.
Yeah, right.
And he was... I think he was a senior designer.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Right.
So
legend.
Yeah.
Legend
so of a relationships, guy. Man. Like we still get in touch. We caught up at No BS, and that's another thing. Like you start to don't burn those bridges. I'm not saying I've never have.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just have to make the call, and then
sure. Yeah.
It just happens, but it is what it is, you know. And sadly, that's been sometimes it's what happens.
Yeah. So Hive, how many years in total?
Was there for? I kept coming back for like 4 years. Like
okay.
On and off.
Wow.
Yeah,
right.
And they gave me some really good piece of folio. And then I moved on to other agencies. I started doing digital.
Yeah.
Then I remember I really liked digital. And I was like, this is it. You know, when you realize.
That was my thing.
That was your thing.
Yeah.
I realized like I was really thriving at digital and I had to be super objective with myself. And I said, my branding work is not as good as my digital work.
Right.
And so anyone listening, if you think my digital work is shit, imagine what my branding work is like.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Now people can, you know, they're going to start judging you. But, man, when was that, what was that project that you went, hey, I'm good at digital. Oh, actually, I like this.
I remember going into, after Clemenger, it was very basic website. It was for Maya, and I really liked that.
Okay.
But then when I went to RGA with Sam McGuinness, he, the creative director, and Dara, there were only two guys running the whole studio. And the client was still to this day Toyota. And we were building the design system for Toyota. That's where I learned to use Figma.
Okay.
And I was working with another designer, senior lead designer, and she told me how to use Figma. And I think the combination of the people at RGA, the software, Figma, you know, we love it.
Yep.
It's bread and butter. And also the fact that I really liked it, those three things lined up.
Yep.
And I was like, this is it. I'm never going back to print.
Right.
This is what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
And that was, to me, a pivotal moment to carry on. This is 2018, so 2019, I think. So I was well into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But... Man, I just told you this whole story. It's 10 years in the making.
Yeah, that's a thing. And at that point when you are at RGA as well, like you're also freelancing. So like there's a whole part about your story, which is, you know, you first do an internship, then you jump into a full-time gig, I'm guessing, at Hive. And then after that,
That was still freelancing. Everything's freelancing, man.
So you've been freelancing the whole time. You've never had a full-time job.
Except for 2 years. 2.5 years in between. I've been freelancing since 2013.
Wow. I remember actually you said the other day.
It's the end of 2022. Yeah. I was telling you, I've been almost 10 years.
It's your 10th anniversary as a contractor, freelancer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, hopefully you offer me a full-time job one day. I'll stop freelancing here.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, but we'll wrap it up then. The one thing that I want to wrap it up with is don't worry. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of a lot of a grind. But just keep going. You'll break into the industry. talk to people, go to meetups, go to as many free things as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Trade your time for those experiences, conferences, internships. A lot of people are probably going to be like, oh, free internships, that's free labor.
Mm-hmm.
It may be, but if you are willing to go in there and get time in exchange, mm-hmm. that's fine. If you want money in exchange, that's also fine.
Yeah.
I'm not against one or the other.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's everyone's situations is,
yeah, 100%. Is different.
And it's not just one thing. It's not one size fits all.
No, 100%. Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Amazing. That was a great story, man. Thanks for sharing it.
No problem, man.
All right.
Let's wrap it up.
That's it. Let's go.
Bye, man.